Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 509. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me on this special Christmas celebration edition. That's right. We take no holidays for nobody. Everybody's chilling, hanging out, kicking with the family. But your boys, John Morgan and Cole Coffee, are still getting together to talk some mixed martial arts, some submission grappling, and bring you some, hopefully a touch of entertainment.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, John. I'm glad we're able to get this together. But yeah, you know how it is. Wherever we're at in the world, we make things happen.
Yes, we do.
You happen to be back there in Vegas, and I'm, oddly enough, the guy on the road this one.
Right. This
down
is different.
Here in, this is different. Down here in Havana, Florida, which is roughly about 15, 20 minutes from the downtown Tallahassee area.
Okay.
Here visiting my sister and brother-in-law at their lovely ginormous log cabin type house that's
nice.
Out here in the woods.
Nice.
Comes equipped with their own gun range in the back area. And it's great, man. It's so super quiet out here, and they got a bunch of crazy awesome Christmas decorations and stuff. But yeah, we're off the beaten path, so it's nice and quiet this morning. Could hear some birds and animals, and then a little bit later on, we heard somebody firing off what was probably their new Christmas weapon, at their house, and it's Florida, baby. It's what happens. It's what we do. But no, it's been a wonderful trip so far. So yeah, we got more family and friends coming over for dinner. My brother-in-law is an incredible cook, and so he's got the prime rib on the smoker right
Ooh.
Now, so we're going to throw down in a couple hours. So this is perfectly timed. So once we're done talking MMA, we're going to talk prime rib.
And carve up some prime rib. That's awesome, man.
It's awesome. It's incredible.
That is great. So have you taken an opportunity to go fire off any weapons yet?
No, not yet. By the time we got here late Monday night, or rather early Tuesday. We got here about 2 a.m., and then yesterday was connecting and stuff and just sort of hanging out. But I think probably tomorrow we might get out there to the range.
I had no doubt that you would get out there. And
be it's going to happen.
Utilizing some happen. Firearms, celebrating your American heritage, you know what I mean? I had no doubt.
It's what we do. It's what Santa Claus and Baby Jesus would want us to do, So,
Baby Jesus said, go fire your weapon, son. I love it. Well, that's cool.
He said, why lay in this manger? Please engage in your rights to shoot things.
I had no idea Baby Jesus was a redneck. That's awesome.
It's the lost scripture. It's off somewhere. Pretty sure I read that somewhere here in Florida.
That's amazing. Well, good for you. I'm glad you've seen your family. I kind of alternate with my wife a little bit, kind of what we do. But her parents are actually in town right now, so they're staying with us. So she's super happy. She usually goes to Mexico and sees them every year, but this is the first time they've been in Vegas in 5 years. So I can definitely see her excitement. She's really close with her parents, so she's very, very excited they're here. So it's been kind of cool to see, just how happy she is. She's actually she's whipping up a little meal right now as well.
Nice.
My traditions have changed basically since I got married because she's born and raised in Mexico. Her celebration is always big on Christmas Eve. I don't really know why that is. I don't know it's never really been fully explained to me why that's the way that most Mexicans celebrate it, but that's become the way that we celebrate it. So we did all the gifts and all that last night. I had a big dinner, went out to Hugo's Cellar, which is a very nice steakhouse downtown.
Ooh,
yeah, I had reservations.
Yeah.
So that was my treat. That was my gift to everybody for the holidays, was to take everybody out to a nice steak dinner there. So we didn't cook the prime rib, but they had a couple of beef Wellingtons, and me and the kids split a big tomahawk steak. So, that was... Yeah, it was good times. And did all the gifts. And then, of course, Santa came early this morning, and now we're kind of hanging out. And actually, going to go see Michael Jackson's One at Mandalay Bay later tonight. Nice. I've actually never seen that show. Been living here in Vegas for, 16 years now? But for some reason, that's just one show I've never been to. So the wife actually bought the whole family tickets for that. So that was her gift to everybody, was buying tickets to everybody to go see the show. So that's the big plans here in the Morgan household.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, no, I saw some pictures that your wife was sharing of the family together. You could definitely tell she was happy that the family was all together. Now, I'm mistaken. I saw everybody else wearing matching pajamas, but where was Papa's pajamas? Yeah. Where was John Morgan's pajamas?
It's so funny because I guess I should have known she was going to put the picture on Instagram, but I saw the picture. I'm like, anybody that knows me knows, like, John Morgan wasn't wearing no matching pajamas. Like, I will let the record reflect that she did offer. She was like, hey, by the way, we're getting kind of matching pajamas for everybody for the holidays, these Christmas pajamas. She's like, I'm kind of assuming you don't want them, but I'm going to ask you anyway. And I'm like, well, you definitely know me, honey. I do not want the matching. I do not want the matching pajamas.
It was so funny because I was looking at the picture. I was like, oh, how cute. And I was like, what doesn't belong in this picture? What stands out? There's the guy in the back that's not wearing the outfit.
It's funny you say that. I saw the picture and I thought the same thing. I was like, I wonder if anybody's looking at this going like, damn, they didn't even include dad? Like, what's up with that? You know what I mean? Like, but no, anybody that knows me realizes how unfolded. But I did think if you had no idea what you were looking at, you'd be like, damn, they just told this dude, like, you're not part of the family.
Sorry. I'm surprised they didn't just make you take the picture at that point, you know. No, that Michael Jackson show, I have not seen it, but I hear it's incredible. Her name's Neely Brosh. She's a female guitarist who absolutely shreds, and she actually plays on that show, but she travels around. She actually plays in, like, you ever heard of Death Clock?
No.
And some of the other, like, metal bands. It's like a, there was an animated Metalocalypse, I think, or something like that.
Okay.
It was an animated, like, death metal show, but they actually had a live performing band that would travel and they'd play the cartoon or whatever on the thing. She actually travels with that, but she actually is the guitarist that if she does this show, she comes out with a giant, like, mohawk and, like, shreds some of the guitar and, like, shoots sparks out of her shit. She is one of the best guitarists I've heard that's out there practicing it, or, you know, playing and doing her stuff. But she's in that show. So she travels around as a touring musician and then comes back and plays in the Michael Jackson show. So if you see her shredding, she's badass, man. It's incredible. I'm not sure what they do when she's on the road, but I'm hoping she's there, because when I've seen clips of when she gets out there shredding, they're dancing around and it's just shooting sparks across the stage. It's really, really cool image. So you guys will have a lot of fun with that one. So,
well,
hopefully she's there.
A, I will keep an eye out. And B, you are never short on surprises of stuff that you like. You're just like, bro, you know, like, one day you'll be letting me in on some Korean rom-coms, and then actually, like, oh, by the way, you know, death metal, right? Like, I'm a big death metal guy. I'm like, what? I had no idea.
Well, you know, on occasion I'll listen to a little something, you know. But this one, because there's a cartoon associated with it. So, you know how that is.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, well, listen, not a ton of MMA going on. Should say no MMA. By the way, I'll just give it a tease right now, because we won't be together until it happens, because our next show will be on New Year's Day. But New Year's Eve, Ryzen is actually doing a show. So if you're into that, you know, New Year's Eve tradition of MMA from Japan, it is still happening. It's a pay-per-view. I think it's like $15 online, so it's a very reasonable price. They got some great fights in there. I know Kyoji Horiguchi is on there. They got 3 title fights, so put that one on your calendar if you're fiending for a little bit of mixed martial arts action later this week. And, of course, we'll get together on New Year's Day. But before we get to what is happening, which is Fury Professional Grappling 12, and I will be there, of course, on the microphone. Jay Regobudo, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Black Belt, will be on the mic with me, and Gina Lucille will be there as well in a reporter role. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But one thing I did see this morning was my buddy CM Punk. It's on football coverage. I mean, not, actually, not on football coverage. Netflix is doing football, right? They've been building to this NFL. We talked about, you know, the idea that that Paul Tyson fight was really kind of an opportunity for them to stress test the system ahead of NFL on Christmas Day. They're doing that. And my buddy CM Punk is out there, and he's doing some interviews and doing some spots because, of course, the WWE is going to Netflix on the first week of January. I think January 6th maybe is the debut. Don't quote me on that, but I know it's the first week of January. But it got me thinking because there's been some discussion lately about where the UFC is going to end up this year, right? Yep. The deal is up at the end of 2025, and so they were expected to, you know, they've been deep in negotiations already, and they're expected to make an announcement. And I did see there was actually a poll that came out that industry experts were polled about when and where the UFC would end up, and it seems like the leading answer is Netflix. Now, should point out, by the way, that in this poll that was held by Bloomberg Screen Time, which I don't know Screen Time, but obviously I know the Bloomberg Network,
Bloomberg,
of course.
Bloomberg, yeah.
Yeah, you know that. Netflix was the leader with 150 votes. Amazon was right behind with 129, and Disney ESPN with 113 of the votes. So not an overwhelming majority thinking that, you know, it's going to end up on Netflix. I was kind of interested to see in this poll. Warner Brothers Discovery 57, Comcast 48, Paramount 27, Apple only 12 votes. I mean, so we think about Apple having a bunch of money. They were dead last in this poll.
Yeah.
And so not seeming to be a player in the UFC game, but interesting to see because I don't know that it necessarily impacts us too much. I mean, we're still going to do our job regardless. We're going to follow wherever it goes and you know, that sort of thing. But I'm just kind of curious to see where it goes. And I do kind of feel like Netflix is going to make a bid for it, right? I mean, they're already in it with the WWE.
With the WWE.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That's huge, I mean, right there. The TKO brands together.
Yeah, I mean, and if anything else, they might have tried to work out a deal for both of them and kind of that worked out in both favors. Like, maybe they didn't individually get the overall amount that they wanted, but maybe they were able to sweeten the deal and, you know, say, hey, well, how about instead we'll give you this much for both of you guys,
right?
You know, and get you both in there.
Yep.
I think that stress test that they did was definitely a great idea. I mean, I think it's huge. I mean, you mentioned, you know, Apple Plus. I don't know if do you watch any of the MLS games?
I do. Yeah.
They're on the they have the MLS pass or whatever it's called on Apple TV, and it's solid, but in terms of like usability, it's kind of clunky getting around it, you know? Like
it
I think
is.
We're maybe that's because we're all sort of used to what the ESPN platform, like their platform is pretty darn solid. Amazon, you're often searching for things. It's also a little clunky. You know, I can see where, you know, if this works out with Netflix, I mean, it's got a great name. Literally, you have smart TVs, you have everything with Netflix built into it half the time already. So you're you know, outside of just somebody having to download something or do whatever, more than likely it's probably already on the smart device that they have. I think it's a great potential. I mean, like, it's a great name, you know, why not? I mean, like, granted that most UFC fights aren't going to get the numbers, you know, whatever Dana says, it's not going to get the stress load like that Tyson Paul fight did. That was just ridiculous. The numbers, the amount of people that were pulling on that thing. I think every one of us knew somebody that was watching that fight. You know, it's not going to be the same with the UFC. So while that stress test maybe didn't go as good as they planned, I'm sure they've made changes to the infrastructure after it. And, you know, let's be honest, nobody's going to be doing the same sort of numbers unless there's some crazy super fight that we're waiting to see, whether that's the Jones-Aspinall fight that Dana says is going to be the biggest thing ever. I still believe, you know, that Paul Tyson was probably going to get a lot more eyeballs than that one.
I do,
you
too.
Know? But I mean, it's cool to see more players that are interested in it. I mean, to think, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when they were still just starting to get on Fuel and FX and all this other stuff, and then to look at these main channels, but now looking at Netflix, which is like a global sort of property, if you will, jumping into the fray to get their hands on the MMA is pretty darn cool, man.
It is.
So who knows where they're going to go, but it's a good thing for the sport for sure.
Here's what I'm interested to see is because there's a lot of discussion of maybe the UFC will carve up their programming and sell it off in pieces, right? The NBA yeah. has been incredibly successful with that. WWE is doing exactly that, right? I was talking to Punk at the last show in Atlantic City because, you know, they just brought back Saturday night's main event, and that's on Comcast. I was under the improper assumption that everything on WWE was moving over to Netflix. So I was asking him, I'm like, hey, let me ask you a weird question. Like, why would they reintroduce this franchise if it's like the last show on their deal? And he's like, no, brother. He's like, they're on both of them. You know what I mean? They're on Netflix and they're on Peacock. And so I imagine that, you know, from...
It's impressive.
It really is impressive. And I would imagine the UFC might try to do that. But I'll be honest with you, that does scare me a little bit because I think about when one network has all the programming, right? They really make it a priority. I mean, you look at, like, yeah. you know, Spike. I know that the relationship soured at the end there, right? But Spike, dude, you remember back in the day, you would just know, like, man, there's nothing on TV right now. Let me throw on Spike because I guarantee you there's going to be some fights on right now. Like, they're going to have something yep. MMA related. And I look at ESPN, yep. and obviously ESPN has just tons of programming. But every time you turn on ESPN, right, they got that little ad down there at the bottom. You're seeing that little UFC ad down there and you know, where they're showing the next upcoming fight is and all that. And so, you know, when you have these networks that are all in – they tend to create shoulder program and they tend to create, you know, other stuff around it because they want to drive people back. And so it does scare me a little bit that while the short term for the UFC, it would be big because you're getting money. Now instead of one TV contract, you're getting two. Like maybe one network gets all the fight nights and another network gets all the pay-per-views or whatever. And from a business standpoint, that would make sense. I can sign two deals. I got the same content, but I'm, you know, carving it off and doing that. The same way what WWE does that I didn't know, but now they do. They have like Raws on one channel and SmackDowns on another channel or whatever, and that's good.
Yeah,
I know
that is kind of confusing. I would admit that's confusing as
right?
hell to me.
So
when I've tried to watch it,
yes.
I don't know where to go.
That's
and then
it.
I'm like, is this even part of the WWE? I'm like, I'm so confused.
That to me, and again, maybe the UFC is so big right now that they would just soar right through that and it wouldn't be an issue. But I don't know. For the long term, continued growth of the sport, continued, you know, buy-in or whatever, I feel like you want to have a broadcast partner that's like all in on seeing you succeed, not like, well, we only promote this stuff, so we're not talking about that fight. And now, why are we going to create a studio show when really we only have half the deal, and so we'd technically be helping to promote for this other network as well? And, I don't know if networks look at it that way, but I just think of common sense, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not all in on something, you're not all in on something, you know what I mean? So that yeah. concerns me a little bit. So that's, you know, in terms of this being something that we watch and something that we monitor, that's the part that I'm most interested in, to see how that impacts the future of the UFC.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, I'm one that I watch the fights. But when it comes to, like, all the extra little side program that's on ESPN, I know you watch, like, everything that you see on there.
Right.
I never watch the other shows that are on ESPN, you know? So, like, for me, if nobody's watching that thing, do you think there was ever a point? I can see where they went all in. And one, when you get the exclusivity, you know, you're throwing out a massive number to get that.
Right.
So I could see where they're like, we need to pull back on this number because, you know, we want to either, you know, give it to other sports, because who knows what the sort of deals they pay colleges for their content. Like college football, it's absolutely enormous, and it's only getting better and bigger and bigger because of all the NIL programs and
yep.
things of that sort. So I'm sure they're trying to free up some money. But for them, if they've been throwing so much money at this thing for a while, and if nobody's really watching these sports of these other shows, I'm sure that they were looking to try to maybe pull some of that back and then take some of those resources away so they could allocate it everywhere. I mean, who knows? I mean, Fight Pass has always been a potential that if the UFC wanted to develop a show on their own, if they ever felt that there was, you know, a lack of content out there, they could always sort of develop it themselves.
True.
ESPN just sort of had the bandwidth because they have such a big entity, and that 24/7 programming that they needed, they always wanted to try to put something to it. I'm not so worried about, you know, whether it be a drop in content out there, because there's still so many events, there's so many fights. You turn on Fight Pass, there's a 24/7 library. You go to ESPN, they got plenty of other stuff that they're not worried about whether they have a drop in MMA from their area.
Right.
But now with all these other organizations that are coming up, you know, I feel for a viewer that wants MMA, I'm not worried that there wouldn't be something to see. But, you know, when it comes to all the side programming, I don't really watch a lot of that anyways, because there's so many fights that it's hard enough to keep track with just, you know, following the fight week stuff. That me personally, I'm like Don Davis. I turn on other things when the fight week's off and the other stuff's off. I watch other little things. You know, there's so I don't mind that there's not the crazy, you know, push from every particular outlet to create something. But I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, by them. But I guess with that, too, so say if the ESPN's like, well, we're willing to, you know, pull back a little bit, I can see where the UFC's maybe like, well, man, maybe I'll get more money in the end if I parse it out to a couple different people,
right,
as opposed to getting that one big number,
yep,
from ESPN, because maybe it came to the point where ESPN's just like, I can't keep giving you a number every time that is bigger and bigger because there's so much other stuff that they need to.
Right.
Maybe just the natural thing of it is that ESPN will start pulling some of that money back, and but by doing so, they lose that exclusivity part, and now the UFC has the potential to maybe make more if they parse it out a little bit. So who knows? I mean, it could be interesting, but I think it was one of those things. I was surprised that how long that this deal lasted, where it was,
yeah,
just the ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, for so long, I mean, it was cool that they did it. And I remember when they took over, we were just like, wow, they finally made this crazy place. They never have to go anywhere else. You know, like, this is it. But at some point, you know, like, I can see where they're just like, well, we can test the waters and go elsewhere and maybe make more money. But Netflix would be a huge get for them. You know, I think the platform's solid. I think the layout is great. It's easy to get around. And everybody's got it.
Everybody's
got it. For us, if I'm only watching the fight stuff, I don't really need to go to a particular, you know, avenue to get it every day or whatever. But what's cool for me, because my anime is on Netflix. A lot of it.
That's where you can get your
and
death metal.
I can go there for my MMA. My anime, MMA. What about that?
I like it.
You can take that, Netflix. You can take that if you really, really want. Merry Christmas. But it is interesting. It is interesting to see. But I think, you know, for them to have the exclusivity that they did for so long, they paid out crazy amount of money. But
they did.
It's not surprising that eventually somebody maybe else was going to step up and take it, since the sport's been getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see what somebody else's take on it would be after what we've seen ESPN kind of put their flavor on it. It'd be interesting to see what somebody else does on it, you know?
It really would. It's always nice, right? You get a fresh perspective, a little bit of, you know, anytime you get somebody new, a new set of eyeballs, a new set of ideas. Obviously, the UFC is always going to be the controlling production arm of it, but if they can get a little bit of input from, hey, you know, a little tweak this, try this, you know, you always bring a little innovation in there, so that'll be good. So that'll be something we will definitely be watching next year. Something that I hope everybody is watching this Saturday night is Fury Professional Grappling 12. It is at 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. I'll be flying out there early Friday morning to get there for the weigh-ins, and then we'll be on the mic on Saturday night. And since there's not a ton of MMA to talk about, I thought, you know what? I'm going to do a couple interviews with everybody involved and maybe bring it to everybody here at the MMA Roadshow. So we'll start with that now. We don't typically do a lot of interviews. Maybe we should do. I've thought about doing more interviews in 2025. And so, you know, we can have some more content other than just us two yahoos talking about whatever it is and sipping on frosty beverages or whatever. So well, maybe we'll bring some more. Give some feedback. Let us know. But we'll start out right now with Sean Brady, obviously the UFC's number 4 ranked welterweight contender, the former CFFC welterweight champion as well, and he is returning to the Fury mats to grapple against the boogeyman, Richie Martinez. But start out talking with Philadelphia's own Sean Brady. It is Sean Brady, of course, number 4 ranked UFC welterweight, but right now he is headlining Fury Professional Grappling 12 this Saturday night against Richie Boogeyman Martinez. So, Sean, first off, Merry Christmas to you and your family. And second, I'll ask you what you think about this matchup. You've been here before and, kind of how you're feeling ahead of this one.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and your family, man. So obviously we knew Fury was coming up. I haven't done it in a little while and I feel like it's a perfect time. I'm waiting to get a fight and it's always fun just to grapple, you know, grapple in my backyard. So it's perfect timing. We've been trying to get an opponent for a little bit, and then Jonathan sent me over some names. Richie was the biggest name on there. I've been a fan of his for a long time. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to go out there, grapple. We don't have to worry about getting punched in the face, and we're going to put a show on for the fans before the end of the year.
I dig it, man. These year-end shows are always fun, right? Talk to me about that just first off, right? Like you said, I mean, not only – I know you love to compete, but to do it at 2300 Arena – you know, right down the street from your house, have your friends and family in the building, a bunch of support. You know, you haven't gotten a fight in Philadelphia in a long time. Yeah. How special is that just to get to compete in front of everybody?
Yeah, like I said, I've competed for Fury twice. I've won belts with CFFC there. I fought on amateur shows with Paul Felder back in the day at the 2300. So me and the 2300 arena have a lot of history. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Everyone's going to come out. We got Joey, Andre, Bobby. We have almost my entire – it feels like my entire team's competing on the card. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to put on a show. It's Saturday. And, yeah, what a better – there's no better way to end the year. If I can't get a fight in Philly, at least I get a grappling match.
I love that we get to see you compete there. Why do you still do this, Sean? I mean, right, like your MMA career is going fantastic right now. You're ranked. Like you said, you're waiting for a big fight. But yeah. What keeps you motivated to still want to do competitions like this on the side as well?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, like last year I went to fight like – I want to be more active, and I'm healthy, and that's literally just it. I just want to be more active, whether it's grappling, fighting. Obviously fighting, I would like to be more active, but I don't really have control of, you have to wait for opponents, guys have to fight, so things have to play out. But yeah, if I can be active grappling, and especially when I'm done fighting, I'm going to grapple as much as possible. So I get these opportunities to grapple, I'm going to do it, you know, especially at the arena in Philly. Yeah, it's like we grapple for free and for fun every single day. I just did 10 rounds this morning. We had a bunch of guys grappling. My wife has work and she's a nurse, and my mom, so my whole family has work, so we already did our Christmas thing, so we're training. And but yeah, it's just for me, it's just grappling, you know. I get to go out there, have some fun, and just get a little competitive itch going before I get a fight.
I love it, man. All right. Well, you said you're a fan of Richie Martinez, obviously a guy that's, I mean, he's been around the game forever. I like the fact that you've, you know, watched what he's doing and respect it. So what do you think about him as an opponent, what he presents to you?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be definitely bigger than me. We were trying, like, I'm walking around like 190, 195. So I said anywhere in that range. They couldn't really find anybody. They said Richie at 205. I said, I don't care. Like I said, it's grappling. I'm a pretty strong guy, so I feel like I'll be able to handle myself there. But yeah, it's gonna be fun. He has a different kind of, like, completely different style than what I have. I'm more of a take you down, top heavy, pass and submit guy, where he's playing that rubber guard and that mission control off his back. So it's going to be a stylistic clash. But I've been doing a lot of jiu-jitsu, so it's going to I might have a few tricks up my sleeve, but yeah, it's going to be a cool clash of styles for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think the way you guys match up should be a lot of fun. You know, yeah. You talked about your previous appearances, Craig Jones and Ben Saunders, right? So you've gone against an MMA vet, and then you've gone against a grappling specialist.
Yeah.
I wonder, is there more of like a little sense of satisfaction in beating somebody that, like, this is their world versus like an MMA guy where, you know, well, I know he's training a lot of different
things. Yeah, I know what you're saying, but not really, because I'm a martial artist and I just happen to fight. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a jiu-jitsu guy. They're a martial artist. Yeah, they might do it a little bit more straight jiu-jitsu than me, because we have so many other things we have to do. But if you're a true martial artist, like I like to think I am, you should be able to go out there and compete with the highest level guys. And Richie has been at the highest level of the sport. And I think that I'm going to go out there and do very well against him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a fun one. I talked to him as well. He's got a lot of respect for you, and he kind of feels the same way, that stylistically you guys match up incredible. So, all right. We're excited for this one. You know, we're excited for Fight News too, though. So, I mean, this will be the holdover. It'll be a great end of the year. But when do we get to find out the next step in the MMA career?
You tell me, man. I've been – so after Gilbert, I was trying to get something like end of the year, early January. I was hoping to be fighting in January. I'm having a daughter in February. So I was hoping to get squeeze one in before then, but obviously that's not happening now. But I'm pushing for the Leon fight. My manager says they'll be talking to the UFC brass this week. So that's really what I want. It's worth – everyone's talking about, like, there's a lot of risk with going over to his country and fighting him in his backyard, but there's also a lot of reward. If I beat the number one guy in his backyard, that cements me as the number one contender. And that's what I'm looking to do. But if we don't get that, I'm hearing from a little birdie they might be coming to Miami in April. So one of those, that's what I'm looking for. But I'm looking for a top five guy, and we'll see what comes about.
That's awesome. Well, we know it's going to be a big fight when it happens. Yeah. But first, we got one of the final events of the year, Fury Professional Grappling 12. You know, it's one of the last chances. People are chilling at home. They're looking for some entertainment. They need something to watch. It's going to be on UFC Fight Pass. What can they expect if they tune in and see you on Saturday night?
High-level grappling. There, besides me, I want to highlight like all my teammates that are on there. So, yeah, there's guys littered throughout that card. From the first, I'm going to get there early because I have teammates from the first fight, from first match of the night until the end. So I'll be there the whole night watching. And, yeah, you're going to see some high-level grappling. The way Fury is making these rules now, it's going to be exciting, you know. If you don't get a submission, you don't win. And I like that. So, and obviously, if it goes into overtime, you have to score. But they're making these rules to make these matches be exciting. And I think we got Andre versus Pat Downey. We got Joey. Joey on there. So Pat Sabatini just got added to the card. So it's literally stacked with the highest level guys on the East Coast. So if you're not tuning in to UFC Fight Pass or spending the $65 to get there, then I don't know what you're doing on your Saturday.
Well said. Can't do it better than that. Sean, appreciate the time on Christmas Day, and we'll see you on Saturday.
No worries. See you soon, John.
All right. So Sean Brady back on the Fury Professional Grappling Mats. As far as the MMA side of it, pushing for the Leon Edwards fight in London. I like that idea, to be honest with you. As he said, it's a risk-reward type scenario. It's a tough fight, especially going in, you know, traveling all the way over to England and doing it in Leon's backyard. Or I had heard from some similar little birdies about April in Miami. I think Jorge Masvidal kind of talked about it a little bit, or maybe I just teased it with him. But, you know, that'd be a great place for him if he comes back. But he says, you know, they're... If he wants top five, you know Shavkat's fighting Bilal, so that really only leaves Usman or Jack Della Maddalena. Either one of them would be a good fight. I think Usman would be better for the resume probably, and Usman is a Florida guy, so maybe that appeals to him. But some good options on the table. Any of those matchups you like over the other?
I like the Usman one. I mean, I think there's a point, too. I mean, like, I think he's been kind of off to the periphery for a little bit. You know, you kind of wonder what his involvement's going to be in the sport. You know, if he stays... You kind of want to make sure that, I hate to say relevant, but
right.
You know, there's a point where you know you need to kind of see him in there and make sure that he's still in the game and doing his thing. So I think that's a great idea. I think that's a great matchup. Jorge would be fun to see get back in there as well. I think when it came down to maybe who has a better chance to maybe make it closer, and no offense to Jorge, but I mean, I think Usman and his wrestling ability will kind of keep it maybe a little bit more level to
agree.
We'll get to see some striking and other stuff. You know, I think if it's Jorge, it might be a sloppy one-handed, you know.
That's not a good matchup for Masvidal. That's not the kind of matchup that they want to bring Masvidal back for either. You know what I mean? They want to put him against somebody that he would strike with. So I hope they do put him on that card. That would be good. So we'll see what happens for Sean Brady. But, of course, he's headlining this Saturday night. And the man he's headlining against, the boogeyman, Richie Martinez. This was kind of funny for me because it's a full circle moment, I guess you'd say. I actually called a couple of his amateur fights in 2013 when he was competing in mixed martial arts. So that was kind of fun to find
That's
out
awesome.
That he was going to be headlining here, you know, 11 years later, and I get to call
That's
him
crazy.
On some grappling. I know, that's how long we've been doing this stuff, man. It's nuts. So, hadn't interviewed Boogeyman before, but he's been a big figure in the grappling scene, so this was the first time I got to talk to him. Here is Richie Martinez. It is the Boogeyman himself, Richie Martinez, who is making his Fury Professional Grappling debut this Saturday, December 28th. And, Rich, I'll just ask, I mean, you have competed literally everywhere, every format, everything. Give me your feelings on this one, a main event, a top-ranked UFC contender. What's the excitement like for you coming into this one?
Man, how can I not take this match? You know, this is a great match. It's a great opponent, you know, a great promotion. Like, there's no way I was going to say no. So as soon as they sent me a message, I was like, I'm all in. No questions asked, you know. You know, for me, like, I always love challenging myself and competing against the best in the world. And Sean, I believe he's going to be a UFC champion. So why wouldn't I want to take this shot right now? You know, like, it may be like one of those chances that I may never get again. So why not go up against one of the best in the world?
That is awesome, man. Look, for me, this is kind of personally exciting. All right, it's full circle for me. I actually called your two amateur fights for Tough Enough way back in 2013.
Yep.
So for me, it's been really cool to see your growth as a grappler, right, after seeing your MMA roots. So I'm curious, when did you make the decision, hey, I'm putting MMA to the side,
I'm going to chase submission grappling, because back then there wasn't nearly as much competition as there is now. And it was a hard way to make a living.
Of course. Of course. And you know, it was the other way around. It was jiu-jitsu before MMA always, you know, like that was my main scenario. Like I honestly started MMA just to like prove that jiu-jitsu worked at MMA. Like that was the only reason. I had no like aspirations of being like this UFC world champion or nothing like that. I just wanted to show that my jiu-jitsu worked no matter what kind of rule set, no matter like it was MMA or jiu-jitsu. I just wanted to prove my jiu-jitsu worked, you know, and I'm a big fan of MMA, you know, that's the big thing. It's like, I'm a big fan, and I hated to be the guy that was like, man, you know, like that guy should have done this or should have done that. And I'm like, you know what, you go do it. And that's why I got into MMA. It wasn't the other way around, but you know, like once I realized that, you know, that I was never a striker. I was always a grappler. You know, once I realized that I'm like, man, there's levels to it. Then I was like, you know what? Before I get injured, I'm going to call it quits. You know, I had, you know, you called two of my amateur MMA fights and stuff. And I had eight amateur MMA fights. And then I had five professional MMA fights, you know? So I went all in, you know what I'm saying? And, before you knew it, I was like, you know what? Jiu-jitsu is the way. It's always been my passion. It's been what I wanted to do primarily. So I just stuck to my roots and just went along with the whole ride of the jiu-jitsu.
That's beautiful. Well, it has worked out absolutely well for you, sir. You've done very good. Now, talk to me about recently, because I think a lot of people, the last time they would have seen you was at the Fight Pass Invitational back in 2022. Yeah. I know you competed in November in Texas. But yes. There was a layoff in between, right? Was it that entire time? Or something? What was going on in the layoff?
No, I did a couple of more things. I did ADCC trials back in, I believe it was in April in Las Vegas. And I ended up winning one of my matches. Or I ended up making it to the top 16 at ADCC trials, the West Coast trials. And I got an injury, and I busted my knee. And after I won, I stood up, and my knee just locked. And I had to stay off the mat for a little bit. You know, I just got into the coaching role and just kind of like healed my injuries. You know, it was like definitely needed. I'm one of those guys that just never takes a break. And I felt that I'm like, you know, my body's telling me to just take a little break. I took a couple months off, and, you know, I feel better than ever now. You know, I did compete in Texas. That was my first one back. And just been training nonstop ever since. And I'm just ready for the next challenge. And obviously, it's going to be Sean Brady this weekend, so I'm very, very excited. You know, I ended up competing also in November, or in December of last year, which is a year from now. I ended up winning Nogi World Championship at Black Belt, so it was super fun. And, yeah, like I said, I'm always on the grind, just like for the first time in my life, I'm like, you know what? I got to take a break. I got to heal up. I always go into matches injured and stuff like that. Like we all do, you know, like if you're a grappler, if you're an MMA fighter, like you always know, like you go in there, you're going to be injured. And I felt like it was my time to just take a little breather and just, you know, sit back and heal up. And like I said, I feel better than ever. No injuries, no nothing. I'm ready to go.
I'm happy to hear that, man. We love to see it 100%. All right, now, like you said, Sean Brady, top ranked welterweight right now. But you've beaten some MMA names, man. You know, Kevin Casey, CB Dalloway, Marcin Held, Kazushi Sakuraba, which is insane. Yeah. Jake Shields, Gleison Tiba. So, talk to me about fighting. You know, competing against these MMA fighters. Is there anything consistently that you see in these type of matchups, whether it be something that's to your advantage or something that's a challenge when you're in these? Is there any consistency that you see with MMA athletes as opponents?
Every MMA athlete that I ever faced, I respect greatly. You know what I'm saying? And that's the consistency. Like I've never taken a match and I'm like, oh, that guy kind of sucks. I'll take the match. Never like that, man. Every single person that I have ever faced, like in a super fight or anything like that, I truly respect. You know, and it's like, and it's an honor to be on the match with them. And that's why I take these matches. It's not because I'm like, oh hell yeah, easy match. No, every single guy I know could potentially beat me. You know what I'm saying? But it's like it's a challenge to me, and I'm like, as much as they could beat me, I could beat them as well. And that's why I take these matches, man. I've never taken a match that I didn't think I could win, but I also didn't think I could also – I could potentially lose as well, you know? So it's like that's the consistency with all of them. Every single fighter that I've ever faced, like in a super fight or these MMA fighters that I've faced, it's because I really respect these guys.
That's awesome, man. All right, we'll talk about Sean Brady. I know you're an MMA fan. We haven't seen him on the competitive grappling circuit as much as you, of course, but a highly talented grappler, powerful, strong. What do you know about his game? What do you think about the matchup as you're getting ready for it?
You know, he like me, he's a submission hunter. You know what I'm saying? He has a great Kimura, a great guillotine. He has good pressure, you know what I'm saying, good wrestling. Like, he's legit, man. He's going to be game and you know, like I said, like, he has a really big shot to win, but also so do I, you know, and it's like that's why this match is going to be very exciting. You know, it's a clash of styles, you know, like I love throwing submissions from the guard and stuff like that, and he likes doing it from the top, you know, so it's whoever could pull that trigger first and capitalize on one's mistake, you know. And yeah, man, I like, honestly, like, for me as an MMA fan, I'm very excited for this match, you know. And I've been not taking them lightly. I've been training very, very hard for this match. And as soon as they told me, like I said, man, I was like, that same night, I was like, I'm on the mats, you know, I'm game planning for him. And it's one of those matches that you have to prepare for. If you don't prepare for him, he's going to take advantage of that and he's going to take you out.
You know, it's funny about this too, because it's in his backyard, right? And I feel like when you compete, like, everybody loves you. I mean, you're such a nice guy and exciting and fun. And I feel like everybody's cheering for you. In Philadelphia and Sean Brady's backyard, you're gonna get some booze, right? You're gonna be the enemy. They're gonna be cheering against you.
you know, it's one of those things. It's gonna be a 2300 arena, you know what I'm saying? That's ECW territory, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm all game, man. That even though that's his home court, it's like, wrestling's my home court no matter where is it at. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm a big fan of wrestling, of professional wrestling. So it's like, that place has history. So I'm going to feel right at home. So whether I get booed or whether I get love, at the end of the day, it's like, we're going to go out there and we're going to have a war. And at the end of the day, it's like, whether he gets his hand raised or I'm going to get my hand raised, people are going to respect both of us at the end, whether they're his fans or mine.
I love it, man. I didn't know you were a pro wrestling aficionado, too. You got the history down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Since day one, man. So
I dig it. All right, listen. No twisting leg locks, no heel hooks, right? Because he's a UFC athlete. I mean, I think you've shown that you have plenty of weapons outside of that. That's not necessarily your primary game. But how much of an impact, you know, does that have on traps you can set, on strategies, knowing, like, these aren't submissions I could even use?
None at all. You know what I'm saying? Like for me, like, I have a game plan for anybody who's anybody, you know, like, it's like, whether there's leg locks, whether there's, no matter what the rule said, I'm all game. You know what I'm saying? I do every type of submission grappling event. Like, it doesn't matter the rule set. I just love to compete. You know, that's my main mission. Like, so whether there's twisting leg locks or not, like, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? It's just a rule, you know, like for me, like I compete at any type of rule set, and this is just a rule set, you know what I'm saying? And I'm game for whatever it is. Like, I for me, I just love to go out there and compete against the best in the world, right? Like, no matter the rule set, no matter the arena, no matter, like, if I'm in his backyard or he's in mine, like, I just love to compete, man. That's my main thing. Like I was born to compete, you know, and it's like, there's just another way to be able to, like, showcase my jiu-jitsu, my grappling against one of the best. Sign me up. I'm already there, man.
I love it. That, you know, that's what I love about these crossover bouts, right? Because, you know, maybe you get exposed to a different fan base that maybe doesn't watch a lot of grappling, but maybe they're going to because they know Sean Brady, they're MMA fans. So do you enjoy opportunities like this to maybe, like, you know, kind of showcase yourself to a new audience?
Hell yeah. Yeah. I love it. You know what I'm saying? Like for me, like I'm a crowd pleaser. Like I go out there and I try to hunt for the submission. So no matter what, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make some new fans for sure. Like it's not about making new fans or whatever. I do what I do and I go compete, and people gravitate to somebody that's exciting and goes for the kill. And that's me, man. That's me 100%. That's something that you're going to see this weekend. And you've always seen, you know what I'm saying? I go out there, I go for the kill, whether I'm losing, whether I'm winning, whether it's a, doesn't matter. I'm always hunting for the submission.
I can speak. Hey, firsthand, I can speak from your amateur MMA days. You were doing that, man. You know what I mean? It was amazing. So listen, like you said, you took a layoff, but you're 100% now. I know you're back on the competitive scene. This would be a great way to end the year, but talk about next year. I mean, obviously 10th Planet San Diego, you want to keep growing that, but what's the plan for you and just overall the goal for next year?
You know, like for me, like the team's growing, my team's growing. So I'm not competing as much as I used to. I'm probably competing like once a month, maybe once every other month, but I'm still on a competitive scene. I definitely want to take a lot of, you know, super fights and stuff like that. So hopefully I get another call from Fury, you know what I'm saying, after this match. And, you know, anything that the people throw my way, like, you know, I want to do Nogi Rolls next year as well. Get my my world title again, and you know, just keep at it. You know what I'm saying? Like I just, like I said, I love competing. You know, I know there's like ADCC trials next year in the East Coast, and there's all these ADCC opens, IBJJF tournaments. You know, there's so many things happening in the grappling world, and I'm all for it, man. Like I said, I just love to compete, no matter the rule set, no matter against who. Like, it's just what I do.
I love it, man. Well, I think you've become, honestly, like, just a great spokesman for the sport of submission grappling, man. So it's been awesome to see what you've accomplished. Absolutely, man. Last thing I'll ask you, man, like I said, main event, Fury Professional Grappling 12, I guess, for anybody that maybe is sitting on the fence or, you know, doesn't know, they've never tuned in, why should they tune in and watch this main event?
You know, honestly, like, it's gonna be a big match for grappling in general, right? Like, I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna put it on the line. Sean Brady, you know what I'm saying, top UFC star, he's gonna put it on the line, and we're gonna it's gonna be a clash of styles, you know. No matter who you are, no matter what kind of jiu-jitsu you like, this is gonna be an explosive match, and everybody should tune in, you know what I'm saying? And I'm very, very excited. I'm grateful to get the opportunity, and let's fucking go. Sorry if I can't curse, but let's go, baby.
I love it, baby. Can't say any better than that, man. Pumped up. Hey, Spooky Man, I'm looking forward to seeing you on Saturday night. Appreciate the time, and we'll see you in Philadelphia.
One thing before we go.
Yes, sir.
Check out my boy, John Strollo. He's going to be on the prelims. I think he's like the fourth fight. One of my students, he was just out. He was just going to go out there and corner me, but now he has a match, and it's going to be explosive. He's one of my best guys, so make sure you guys check him out as well.
I love it. That's why people love you, man. You got the spotlight for yourself, and you're making sure your boy gets a little shine too.
Of course, man. Well, man, yeah. Be ready for this weekend, man. It's going to be super fun, and I hope everybody tunes in.
Like I said, full circle moment for me there. I'm excited to see Boogeyman compete. Obviously, I've seen him compete a lot on UFC Fight Pass with other organizations, so it's good to have him here in our main event. And, man, just what a good dude, man. Just a nice guy, man. I really enjoyed it. I like his enthusiasm, so I'm definitely looking forward to this matchup. I think it should be a lot of fun. I will say the co-main event is one that I think almost everybody I know with CFFC and everybody that I've talked to outside is looking forward to as much as the main event. Should note, by the way, we usually do 6-minute matches for the undercard and 8 for the main event. Our co-main event will actually be 8 minutes as well, so that'll be a first for us in a co-main event just because these two guys deserve it, and it could have been a main event. But that's Pat Downey and Andre Petroski. Now, I spoke to Pat Downey first. You might not know much about Pat Downey. Hardcores will recognize he fought for Bellator twice, going 1-1. He does intend to go back to MMA at some point, but right now, he's focusing on his grappling on side of things. He's a former national champion wrestler. He was a Division I All-American, bit of a loose cannon, got in trouble, got kind of excommunicated from the wrestling world by some of the controversial things he said. More recently, you might have seen him in the headlines if you saw a guy that choked someone out at an IBJJF tournament, and then his opponent got up and started going after him, and he kind of, you know, taunted him with the little "you went to sleep" thing, and they started swinging. That was Pat Downey. That's who this is. Okay, so
that might happen.
This matchup with Andre Petroski, I think, might get a little bit chippy. So we'll start here with Pat Downey first, and let you hear from this man.
It is Pat Downey, the former national champ, the D1 All-American, and of course he is set to make his Fury professional grappling debut this Saturday night, co-main event on UFC Fight Pass. And Pat, I mean, look, you've competed at the highest level of grappling for a long time now, but what's your excitement level like for this matchup with Andre Petroski on this end-of-year showcase that we've got coming up?
Yeah. I'm super excited for the opportunity just to be competing close to home, you know, like Philly, Baltimore, we're neighbors. So super cool. I rarely get to do that. And then, you know, obviously Andre's who he is, says he's self-proclaimed to be the best grappler. I've heard him say some wild stuff. So, I mean, he thinks he's better than Bo and Hamzat, which are guys I'm super familiar with. So I'm excited to see him prove that. He took the bout, so he must really believe it. So let's go. Credit to him.
I love it. I mean, to me, that's the story of this bout, right? I mean, he says he's the best grappler in MMA. Your accolades, your credentials are pretty damn impressive. I mean, what do you think when you hear him say that? Do you think he's got a case to even argue, or do you feel like he's just, you know, blustering out there, being a little braggadocious? What are your thoughts?
I mean, sometimes people say things they end up biting off more than they can chew, you know. I've been guilty of that, just jumping into fields unprepared or not, just not knowing, you know, lack of empathy, entropy, you know what I mean? So it is what it is. He's entitled to his opinion. You know, who the hell really wants to hear somebody not believing in themselves either? Like, I wouldn't want to compete against a guy that doubted himself. Oh, I'm about to get my ass whipped by down. Like, nah, talk that good shit and then, you know, better man finds out always.
I love it, man. I respect that. All right. Hey, you're stepping on the mats. This will be your first competition as a purple belt, right? Is that, I know, yeah, you know, ultimately that's, you know, you're going all the way, but those belt promotions, I know there's little steps all the way. Do they mean something to you?
Yeah. I'm ascending through the ranks and rapidly because, it definitely does. I wouldn't be having these cosigns from my, guys like, you know, that have done this game their whole life. If I wasn't progressing, you know, and now I don't know if I'm be pulling guard anymore, but I think, you know, back to that word entropy, you know, that lack of information from the guard, you know, I still don't have a good guard, and I think that's going to be the next phase in my evolution. But yeah, and all these professional bouts, and you know, moving forward, when I fight again, you're going to see me on top. You know, I'm never going to lose my wrestling pedigree, but I just need to be able to take guys down at my will, keep them down. You know, Matt returned them if necessary over and over again. But then when I'm on top of them, you know, finish. So that's what I've been working a lot on. And I was just, you know, I won them IBJJF Worlds and I got some kills in it. You know, my first submission. So I was pumped. So people can talk all that shit they want. But, like, I earned that purple belt too. You know what I mean?
What's been your reaction to that, right? Because, I mean, look, for all your accolades, I don't know that you've been more in the news and more talked about than you have been right now because of this controversy. Yeah. I mean,
right?
It is wild. So what's your reaction to all that?
Well, I'm fucking damned if I do and damned if I don't. If I go compete as the white belt, they're like, oh, he should be a black belt. And then I try to enter as a black belt. They're like, oh, he doesn't know any jiu-jitsu. He's just going to beat everybody with wrestling. So it's like, all right, you know, I do what these motherfuckers basically want me to do. I learn the game from scratch, start as a white belt, humble myself, come into a new game. And, you know, you love me, I'm in your heart. You hate me, I'm in your head. Both are in my favor. I really don't care. To your point, what's it doing? It's creating that talk. It's building my brand. You know what I'm saying? It's,
I love it, man. That's a great way to.
I'm coming in here dominating these guys with black. Like, look at Rockhold. He's got a good black. Look at these guys. Look at Petroski. I'm sure he's got a black belt. Wait until you see what my skill set. You know, I'm transcending not just the wrestler now. It's a total grappling package you're going to be getting with me.
I love that. So I'm curious about that too, right? Because your wrestling credentials, I mean, you're always going to have that to go to, right? Like, that's your bread and butter. But I know you're working on rounding out your game. Easy to do in the training room, right? But maybe hard to do in competition. So what's your goal in competition? Do you, like, in a match like this, do you want to go out there and show new tools? Or do you think, well, I can't use these new tools right now because I got to go out there and get this win?
Right. Yeah, there's both sides of that coin, right? You know, and I'd like to get another submission victory. I know that. If it has to be the same submissions that I just successfully hit in competition, then so be it. You know, I'm not opposed. I don't care how I get the kill, if that's what you're asking. But would it be cool to be able to get a kill differently? You know, throw an arm bar in there, a little triangle, you know what I'm saying? All these things are in my mind as well, you know. So, you know, I don't want to spoil the show, you know, but.
That's it. That's why you got put in on Saturday.
However I kill a guy is happy. I'm happy with it. You know, I'm not at the level. You know, like Gordon's calling his shots beforehand and setting it up. I'm not there yet, you know, and that's part of knowing the game is knowing where you are and where you're not. Like, I'm humble enough to be real, you know what I mean? With that being said, I could still take Gordon down 20 times in 5 minutes like a ragdoll. You know what I mean? I could tell you how I'm going to do that. So, and there's nothing you could do to stop it. So, everybody, you know, especially at this level, when you're a pro athlete like this and you're worth following and knowing, everybody's going to have something that they're, like, fucking good at. You know what I mean?
No doubt. Well, talk to me about Andre. I mean, I know you said you got a lot of respect. You understand, you know, he's got confidence in himself. Have you studied his game at all, or what do you think about the grappling that he brings to the mat?
No, I've seen him wrestle a little bit in his fights. I've never really tape trained him. I let my coach Monroe kind of handle that, and he knows what he kind of does and looks for. And he's very similar to me. He wants to be on top, and he's a fighter. He wants to wrestle and grapple. I'm sure he's not going to be pulling guard. I'm not expecting that, you know. Same with Luke Rockhold, like these Jake Shields, these guys that are fighters, and they all want to be on top. You know what I mean? I don't care how you say it. Like, if, you know, that's where you want to be, you know, whether you're killing or damaging, you know, submitting or damaging, that dilemma. And who's got gravity working with them? Everybody wants to be on top. So, you know, you can't deny that. And, yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing somebody try to prove, you know, how they get on top of me and hold me down and submit me. Cause, you know, I've given up a couple like heel hook and ankle bar, knee bar shit, but nobody's yet to sweep me or submit me like with, you know what I mean? Top prep, take me down, or I just haven't seen it out of these guys, even the best. So, he's going to have to prove something to me Saturday.
The other thing I find interesting about this, I think you guys are both very incredibly dangerous from the front headlock position. I mean, who do you think's more dangerous in that spot?
Me.
Simple, that easy.
Easily, yeah. I can front headlock him and I'll kill him, and he can front lock him headlock me and won't kill me. It's just that easy. Put me in the position and I'll live. Put him in there and he's not going to. So let's go.
I love it. Given your personalities, I think this might get a little bit chippy. I mean, is this a fun grappling match to end the year? Or do you think this one's going to get pretty intense out there?
I mean, dude, it's always like you got to match that energy. You know what I mean? You know, and a lot of times guys don't like accepting the loss. Grapplers turn into strikers. Strikers turn into grapplers. You know what I mean? You can't win in one game. Let me try to beat you in another. So, if it gets there and we got to take it there, you know me. Like, that ain't no problem. So, with that being said, you know, if you do beat me, I don't do that. You watch my history. I'm the first one to shake my opponent's hand before we compete. And I'm always the last one to shake it, even if it's me losing to Taylor or me getting fucked by Team USA against Bo Nickel. You know what I mean? I got robbed against him. So, I mean, in the Olympics, and you don't see me throw a hissy fit like the Dagestani did in the finals. And you don't see that behavior out of me because I'm a real man. You know what I mean? If you beat me, I'll shake your hand first and look you in the eye and give you respect. That's just all it is. You just beat me. So if that happens, just know it's never me starting it. You know what I mean? It's just usually me kind of matching that energy and having to, you know, try to finish it.
I love it, man. Well, I'm super excited for this appearance. You talked about fighting. So MMA is still a goal for you? I mean, I know you're developing your grappling game and you're focused on this, but MMA is in the future as well?
Yeah, I just saw the holes in my game. You know, I jumped right into it after cancel culture. I wasn't properly prepared for that. You know, I got cut by Bellator's, but once I have a black belt, I'm prepared for these 15, 25-minute bouts and my long, you know, it's more of a different cardio style. It's more of a marathon. And then, you know, the striking skills, I think that'll be the last thing for me to develop. But yeah, I'm just really focused on being a professional grappler right now. But yeah, MMA is still in the future.
I love it, man. Well, listen, excited for that. Excited for this Saturday. Pat, I know you're a busy man, so I won't take up any more of your time. Last thing I'll ask you, I think this is going to be a phenomenal event. But maybe anybody that's on the fence or they're not a submission grappling hardcore or something like that, why would you tell them they need to tune in and watch this matchup especially?
Yeah, man, just because if you know me, you know I'm not, you know, typical submission grappler. You know, I do high amplitude throws. It's exciting. And you got two, you know, alpha males grappling, and we're both chippy Northeast Coast mugs, you know, trying to find out who the real beast of the grappling East is. So it's worth tuning in for, you know, in one of the last shows of the year.
I love it. Can't say better than that. Looking forward to seeing you out there this weekend, Pat. Enjoy it. Appreciate the time, and we'll see you soon.
Hell yeah, bro. Thanks for your time, too.
All right, so that is Pat Downey. Intense dude, but I like it. It's like intense but respectful, right? Where he's like, dude, if you want to go, we can go, but also if you beat me, then I'll be the first to shake your hand and say, you beat me, you got me. That's what this is all about, you know, just some alpha male stuff going at it, man. So I'm excited to see the debut of Pat Downey. And then, of course, he will be facing Andre Petroski, a CFSC veteran, a Fury professional grappling veteran, multiple times. This is actually the seventh time that he's competing for Fury professional grappling. We've only had 12 events, so I mean, he is there all the time. And I've got to call some fights with him as well. So I always love an opportunity to check with Andre Petrosky and talk about this highly anticipated co-main event. So here was Andre Petrosky.
It is Andre Petrosky who is returning to the Fury Professional Grappling mats this weekend. And Andre, you're 5-1 competing for Fury Professional Grappling. That's pretty damn impressive, man. How are you feeling ahead of this one on another big year-end spectacular?
I feel great, man. I think Fury's like a great platform. I think it's it really gives us like a good opportunity to display like my skills. I think the rule set is great. Sub only, first point scores in overtime. It just really works well.
I love it, man. Well, you've definitely had success there. You return this Saturday night, 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. Talk to me about a building you're familiar with. Talk to me about the environment, right? Because, I mean, right now you're competing in the UFC and packed arenas and that sort of thing. But 2300 Arena, it's kind of cool, right? It's got a cool vibe to it, man. Kind of a small building. Fans are right up on you. What's that environment like for you?
I love the 2300 Arena. I've competed there. I would say more than half of my fights have been at the 2300 Arena, but between my amateur and my pro career, I think my first five pro fights were all in the 2300 Arena. So very familiar with it, and I love it. I think it's great. It's in our backyard. It's super convenient. Like, it's got everything we need.
I love it, man. Well, I'm happy to see you back. Look, you've got a couple of big UFC wins, but you keep taking these opportunities to grapple and compete, right? What interests you about it? I know that right now you're rising up the ranks and you're looking at those UFC rankings, but what is it about these grappling opportunities that you say, man, I want to keep doing that as well?
Yeah, I think it's more than just making money. At this point, it's like, I mean, I've gotten to compete and beat big name fighters. Like, I mean, OSP fought John Jones for a world title. Obviously we saw how that match went. You know, I got to compete against Eric Anders, Phil Halls, like real high level guys. So I don't know anybody else that's really putting on shows as far as grappling goes where I can match up with these high level guys.
I love it, man. It's always fun to watch. You got a high level guy here, right? Maybe not a high level name necessarily in the MMA world, but a high-level grappler for sure, and Pat Downey, accomplished wrestler, maybe a little controversial at times. What did you think about this name when it was the one given to you?
I loved it. It was exciting. Yeah, I mean, he's on paper. I think a lot of people would say he's a better wrestler than me. He won my Fila Junior bracket when I was a kid. Like, he's done better than me in tournaments. You know, from earlier in my career when I was just wrestling. So, you know, the opportunity to get that back and show how many levels ahead I've jumped is a great opportunity.
I dig it. Now, he's very aware that you are the self-proclaimed best grappler in MMA. So he's a little bit excited to go out there and test that. Now, do you think that's still quite? Because you said, hey, he's a great wrestler. But, I mean, do you delineate that as two different things? Like, he's a great wrestler, but I think I'm the better overall grappler.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, the key to winning this match is obviously forcing him to do jiu-jitsu, play jiu-jitsu with me.
Yeah.
I think and that, obviously he did well in the worlds, but at blue belt.
Absolutely. And I will say, by the way, he took no issue with you saying that. He was like, man, Andre, he says that, but I'll tell you what, I'm proud that he's, you know, that he feels that confident in himself, and he took this matchup, so obviously he believes it. So let's go out there and let's test it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, it was offered to a couple other people first, but I was just the one that said yes.
I love it. To me, on paper, it looks like it might be one of the most interesting matchups of the night. I mean, you two guys are two big, strong dudes. I would think you both want forward pressure. I know you both are very dangerous from the front headlock position. So because of the way the styles match up, man, it seems like this could be a little bit explosive. Are you looking at this as maybe kind of a match of the night type situation?
Yeah, absolutely. I think from what everyone else is saying, it's the match that people want to see the most.
Unbelievable. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Now, Pat, a little chippy sometimes, a little emotional sometimes, a little fired up. So as you go into this, are you saying, hey, man, we're just having a little fun with a grappling match? Or, hey, you go out there and you fight in the UFC. Are you going in there thinking, you know, all right, if we're going to go, if we're going to make it chippy, if we're going to make it emotional, like, let's go do that.
I think we know that who that would favor. You know, we could do whatever, you know, if you want to wrestle, we can wrestle. You know what I mean? If I'm, you know what I mean? I'm comfortable wherever it goes.
What if he starts throwing hands at you?
I've been to war and I've been in battles.
This is true. This is true. So do you think, I mean, that reputation, best grappler in MMA, do you think that's on the line in this matchup?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's not, he's not in the UFC, but it's another opportunity for me to display where my grappling is.
Now, I understand you wanted this to be 8 minutes, right? Because normally only the main event would be 8 minutes, but you guys agreed to 8 minutes. Was that something that you wanted? Did you want the extra time versus a six-minute matchup?
Yeah, for sure. I knew, like, I watched his match with Carter Starace. I've watched him in matches in the past, and I know that he struggles later in matches, so that's what I wanted. Yeah, I want to take him to deep waters.
Are you a little surprised that he was able that he was willing to go those extra 2 minutes with you?
I don't think he had much of a choice, but we will see. We will see how willing he is for sure.
I love it, man. I hate to ask you about Bo Nickel every time I see you, but. I mean, look, you beat a stud wrestler like Pat Downey. Does that just maybe help strengthen the case that, hey, Bo Nickel, like, I'm the right matchup for you in the UFC?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to happen. It has to happen. Everybody knows now that I've called him out so many times. And even Dana said, like, Bo's not ready for a top 10 guy, which, I mean, no slack to him. He's only got 6 pro fights. So I'm not knocking him by saying that, but he is going to have to step back and fight someone in that 20 to 30 range. And that's me. I've called him out so many times, you know.
You think this is the platform to get it done?
Absolutely.
I dig it, man. Well, listen, I think you said it, man. I think this is the matchup that most people are wanting to see. But I guess if maybe somebody isn't familiar with Pat Downey and they only know you or they don't normally watch Submission Grappling, why would you tell people to tune in on Saturday night to watch this?
I mean, you got watches. I mean, he's exciting. Like, he's a big throw guy. You got to watch him. Watch him in the World Team Trials. He's had good matches. He matches up well against high-level guys. And if you watch my grappling, I'm exciting to grapple, and it's just guaranteed fireworks.
We're going to have to be a little careful on this elevated platform. Both of you, you guys are high-amplitude guys, man. I'm a little worried about somebody toppling off the edge on this thing.
Yeah, maybe Fury will put a couple extra security guards down to catch him after I throw him off the edge.
I love it, man. Well, listen, I know you're busy and the holidays are coming, so I look forward to seeing this Saturday. What's your goal here? I mean, is it just have fun, get a win? Is it like, I got to submit this guy, I got to make a statement? What's the goal in this matchup for you?
I got to get a finish. I got to show that strategically I can take this match wherever I want it and take it to my advantage and capitalize on it.
I love it. Andre, looking forward to it as always, man. Enjoy the rest of the holidays, and we'll see you on Saturday night in Philly.
Thanks, John.
All right, you heard the man. He's excited for this one, too, and he's ready to go. If this thing gets a little bit chippy, I think Andre would be a little bit chippy back there. I am a little worried that these two are going to go toppling off the side of the platform. So we'll take a look, and I think that's going to be
big boys.
Those are big boys.
That can happen.
By the way, that'll be they're competing at 215 pounds too, so they're not having to cut weight. They'll be coming in big. So
really
I'm looking
big
for
boys.
That. And hey, look, on the MMA side, I like what Andre said there about, hey, you know, I've been calling for the Bo Nickel fight. Bo Nickel lost. You know, he's not ready for ranked competition yet. You know, I think I fit the mold of who Bo Nickel needs to be competing against. And, you know, he's been calling for that fight quite a bit. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, right? I mean, it seems like a fair matchup.
Hey, I mean, and talent-wise, it's certainly fair. I mean, like, you know, in terms of, like, who's been getting the big buzz around themselves, I mean, obviously Bo Nickel was the guy getting the huge push. But, I mean, there was a point where Petrosky, I think, was – sort of in that same scenario. Yep. Maybe not getting the push from the UFC, but definitely the guy that people were paying attention to and had a lot of high hopes for him. But yeah, he's a talented guy, dangerous guy. But it'd be interesting to see. I mean, that's wrestler versus grappler, you know, at high level. That would be interesting. You know, because Andre's got hands too.
Yep.
You know, and we know that Bo likes to throw hands. You know, he's found himself. He feels he's a striker now. You know, and he's throwing them hands. It should be interesting. I think it could be an interesting fight. But yeah, no, I'd be in for it. It'd be a fun one to watch.
I'd like to see it come together. All right, listen. So you heard from the main and co-main event. By the way, a couple other big names from the UFC that'll be there. Joe Pyfer is in competition again. Pat Sabatini is back in competition. Alexander Romanoff is in competition for us. Bella Mir is making her Fury professional grappling debut. Yeah, she's making her way out there.
So you see Daddy Mir down there?
I hope so.
He's going to be there.
I hope. Yeah, I'm assuming he's going to try with it. He volunteered to commentate. But we've already all like staffed up and we've got everybody booked and all that. But once she got added to the card, apparently he said, "Hey, if you want, I'll come out there and commentate." So it's not going to happen just because we didn't want to break agreements with other people. But maybe in the future, because I've worked with Frank Mir before, obviously on the mic, and I love the guy, man. He's a phenomenal analyst.
He's no shortage of words in that man.
Yep.
I mean, if he's going to be there, why don't they just bring him up to the desk, you know, at some point just to chat, maybe beforehand? And I mean, granted, he's going to want to be with her.
I know, I'm going to be interested
Bella
to see.
Goes out there, but maybe bring him out there at some point beforehand just to chat a little bit.
100%.
Or maybe even after the fight, depending on how it goes, you know, maybe set that option. But yeah, Frank's a character, man, but he is great on the mic, man. He's got a unique voice, but man, that would be fun.
It would be fun.
Makes a little cameo on there.
So I'm assuming he'll be there. I like where your head's at on that. We'll definitely talk to him at some point. I like Frank a lot. So, all right. Well, listen, I know you got prime rib calling your name. I'm getting some aromas from the kitchen here in my place as well. The wife is down there. She's cooking as well. We got the show to get to. So, any other big plans? I mean, this is our off season, right? We got like 2 more weeks left of this off season.
I am enjoying this as much as possible. I'm telling you, the time away from MMA, as much as, you know, we love having that morning fights, night fights all the time. I am really grateful that we have time to decompress a little bit, see the family. I'm looking forward to this little bit of break. But, man, we'll be ready to go once it gets back on. And once it gets started, it's go, go, go.
Yep.
I think the next break after this will be back in, like, March or something.
Yep.
I think I'm going to take some more time off in March to go see some family again. But, yeah, I mean, this is the time of year. I mean, that's Christmas and holidays like this always makes you sort of, like, be grateful where you at. But you also have to take the time to step away from this game because there are no seasons in MMA. It's always happening. It's always on. So these little breaks, it's nice to kind of be able to get away for a little bit and do some things. And you're able to still stay on the road yourself and get some extra little work. Tell Gene I said hello.
I will definitely do.
but no, this is great. I'm looking forward to enjoying that one more week of time at home before we get back at it. And then we'll just go.
Then we'll go.
It's
like you said, man. I'm cool with fights every week, but man, it's kind of nice to just stop and chill with family a little bit. You know, you forget. I know you're trying to do a lot better job of that. And I'll just send that message to everybody, man. Like, your family is all that matters, man. It really is. And sometimes we get so caught up in everything else that's going on and, you know, chasing things. Yep. And obviously that's life, but slowing down a little bit and just spending time with that family, there's no guarantees. You know what I mean? You just have to be honest. There's no guarantees that you're going to have the time. So take advantage when you do. So hopefully everybody's getting a little bit of that during the holidays. Hopefully you'll tune in on Saturday night. Next time we get together, Cold Coffee, next Wednesday, New Year's Day. It'll be 2025. So it'll be a whole
Is that New Year's Day?
Yeah. New Year's Let Day. So bet. I bet there'll be some college football on in the background, right? Ohio State's playing the Ohio State University is playing on New Year's Day, correct?
Yeah, is it New Year's Day or New Year's Eve? Maybe it is New Year's Day. Yeah, I think it is New Year's Day. The rematch against Oregon.
Wow.
So we'll see if this one goes a little bit better than last time.
I
stay hopeful. I stay hopeful. I do what I can do. But
I'm not a big college football guy, but I will say, you know, I know this is the first year of the playoffs. And I guess from here on out, the rest of it goes to neutral sites. But that first round of playoff games where they were playing home and home games, I know they didn't necessarily end up being the most compelling games in most of the matchups, but, dude, man, the atmospheres at all those schools, man, very, very cool.
It's bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, there ain't nothing like – I mean, I love – just college sports in general, to me, has always been one of my favorite things, regardless if it's football, basketball, this, that. You know, when you have the athletes out there grinding, trying to make it to the big game, the big show – given their all, kind of like when you watch your Tough Enough fighters, when you go call the amateur fights, like they're putting everything out to try to get the call up, you know. So I've always loved college sports. So yeah, man, this you know, the watching the games that people have, and I was watching the shoe and watch the people play, man, it's hard to not get nostalgic and just get the feels, man, watching that game. So yeah, it was interesting. It was that Tennessee one, man, that was fun. So we'll see. I'm hoping momentum runs forward, but if it doesn't, it is what it is at this point.
Well,
we'll
make sure we schedule the show around the Ohio State University so that you're able to watch that game and give it your all. But I bet when we get together next Wednesday on the first day of 2025, we'll have some college football in the background. Maybe it's a day drinking kind of a day. A couple of frosty beverages on New Year's Day. I mean, you know.
I'm not opposed. We can sign up for it. I don't need to be sober to watch any, you know. I don't need sober to talk fights, and I don't need sober to watch football.
God bless.
So it's okay.
God bless. All right. Well, we will rejoin everybody next year. Like I said, everybody tune in Saturday night for Fury Professional Grappling 12 if you can. Catch the replay if you can't, but it is on UFC Fight Pass. And enjoy the time with your family. We will see you next year. Thanks for listening.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.